The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
These stories were written for our learning, the Bible said. We're supposed to react like God shows us in the Scripture. And victory doesn't come until we understand that victory has a voice. You have your Bibles, open them with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 20, and we're going to read a story in the Old Testament that the Lord laid on my heart this week, and I want you to let it speak to you. Look in 1 Kings chapter 20. It starts bad, but it ends good. Now Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his forces together. 32 kings were with him with horses and chariots. He went up and besieged Samaria and made war against it when he sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, thus says Ben-Hadad. I want to mention that he was named after his father. His father's name was Hadad, and it means the king of whirlwinds. His father was such a brutal man, and now the son, which notice the terminology of the words it talks about, I'm going to make you like dust. That's, he's saying, I am the reincarnation of my father, and I'm coming to destroy like a whirlwind. Verse 3, listen to the enemy. Your silver and your gold are mine. Your loveliest wives and children are mine. The king of Israel answered and said, O my Lord, O King, just as you say. No resistance. No opposition. You want my family. You want my marriage. You want my business. You want my finances. Just as you say. And all that I have is yours. Verse 5. Then the messenger came back, because the devil never stops. Once you let him in, he takes more and he takes more. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He never stops. If you let him in, he keeps taking. If you don't learn how to resist the enemy, he will never flee. He'll keep coming. And the messenger came back and said, thus says Ben-Hadad, saying, I have sent you, saying, you shall deliver me your silver, your gold, your wives, and your children. But I send my servants to you tomorrow about this time, and they will search your house, coming in your house, and the houses of your servants. And it shall be that whatever is pleasant in your eyes, anything that brings you pleasure, anything that brings you joy, anything that makes you just be glad to be alive, or it means something that's really precious to you and pleasant when you think about it, I'm taking it. Whatever is pleasant in your eyes, they will put it in their hands and take it. So the king of Israel called the elders of the land. He said, notice please how these men seek trouble. They've sent me and sent for my wives and children, silver and gold, and I did not deny him. And the elders and all the people said to him, it's bad when the people have to tell the leader how to lead. Do not listen or consent. Therefore, he said to the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king all that you sent your servant. I was willing to do, but this thing I cannot do. And the messengers departed, and he came back. And that's when he says in verse 10, I'll come like a whirlwind, like there won't nothing be left but dust. Verse 11, finally, the narrative change. The narrative changes. So the king of Israel, after saying, yes, 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 you can have it, you can have it. Tell him, let not the one who puts his armor on boast like he who takes it off. Verse 13, suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel. And God said, I'll deliver the enemy into your hand. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this story because I believe it's a powerful lesson. You hear a lot in the media today about controlling the narrative. You hear it in politics, you hear it in sports, you hear it in even in controversies and crisis. Whoever controls the narrative controls the outcome. That's the thought. That's what people believe. If you keep saying it, doesn't matter what the truth is, just control the narrative and you will control the outcome. And in this story, it's like Ben-Hadad, this evil Syrian king and his army, links up with 32 other kings because he had tried to conquer Israel before. You read it again and again and yet again, it says, and yet again they came against Israel and he couldn't defeat them. But this time was different because he hired 32 different nations, their kings and their armies, against one group of farmers, the Israelites. And it was because Ben-Hadad knew the power of their God. And he thought, this time, because I've got 32 kings and their armies plus my own army, they do not have a chance. Their back is against the wall. I'm going to destroy them. The reason you face great resistance is because the devil knows who you are. The enemy knows who you are. I believe that the devil's afraid of this church. I believe he knows. I believe demons know that we're here today. I believe that he's afraid because we're anointed to pray. We're anointed to preach. We're anointed to sing. We're anointed to lift Jesus up. We're anointed to lay hands on people. We're anointed today to set captives free. We're anointed today to change the narrative in somebody's life who has accepted addiction and bondage for the rest of your life. That's what the enemy tells you. And as long as you keep letting him come and take and take and take, he'll take your family, he'll take your life, he'll take your aspirations, your dreams, your money, your resources. He will take it all. And then he'll come after that which is pleasurable and seems good to you and things that you enjoy, to where you're suicidal and you see no reason to keep hoping and keep believing. That's what the enemy wants to do. Ahab had his back against the wall, so much so that for the nation of Israel, he was surrendering. He was in the process of negotiating a surrender. And everything the enemy would say is, I don't surrender. I don't coexist with you. If you let me in your life, I come to destroy your life. Don't ever think I'm here to be your buddy. That's what Ben-Hadad, don't ever think we're just going to get along. I'm coming. I'm taking your children. I'm taking your grandchildren. I'm taking your wife. I'm after your husband. You think he's cute? I'm after him. I want to mess him up. I want to mess your family up. I want to mess your life up. I want to mess your body up. I want to mess you up. I am not here to play games with you. You got to see Satan in this story, right? And his narrative for your life is disaster and kill, steal, and destroy, according to John 10:10. That's all he's after. It may be pleasure for a moment, but ultimately he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's hell's agenda. The devil keeps pushing for more and more. I want every precious thing in your sight. Whatever's precious to you, I want it. Everything you like. And there's that moment when the elders spoke to Ahab with such authority that they said, don't consent. What do you mean? He kept taking and you haven't stood up. And there comes that moment when the whole narrative of the story changes, because if you change the narrative, you change the outcome. So many of us just sit back and let the enemy attack and we think, well, we are helpless and that's just how it goes and we don't have any say-so. But I've come today to preach about when victory begins to discover that it has a voice. Don't let the enemy do all the trash talking. Don't let the enemy do all the threats and the fear mongering among your life. Don't let
the world and other people's opinion even control the narrative of your life. 116 times Jesus said, "But I say unto you." He knew when he came into the world, the devil in the Garden of Eden had captured the narrative and he was in control, and he said death, he said steal, he said kill, and man was just had to go along. But Jesus said, "I am here now, and the word has become flesh, and I'm dwelling among you," and the enemy says you're defeated and you don't have a hope and you don't have a future, but I say unto you, I say he's not going to kill, steal, and destroy everything pleasant in your life. I have come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Victory has a voice. You have to talk victory. You have to get to that moment. And I love it because there came that moment when something snapped in him. Something said, "I have surrendered and gave up all that I'm going to give up. I'm taking everything you've got," Ben-Hadad said. And he said, "I was, when I started this conversation, okay." And some of you have your back against the wall. The enemy is coming right now like a flood, like a whirlwind. And he's promising to reduce you down to ashes and nothing but dust. And I love the power of an anointed service. Because you're watching me on television and the enemy said, "I want your gold and your silver," and your business is under attack. And he's coming, he said, "I want your children," and your children are under attack. And your marriages, "I want your wife, I want your husband." It's all hitting on every front. And then he's going through saying, "I'm going to take the pleasure and the joy out of life. I'm going to make you so miserable, so maimed that you can't even enjoy. You don't have peace. I want you sucking your teeth. I want you negative. I want you walking around just hating life and bitter and angry and mad and upset. Everything pleasant, I'm coming after it." And that might be how you walked in here, but you came to the wrong service and you're watching the wrong program. Because the prophet showed up with a word from the Lord in the text that I read. And that word is still alive in this year, in this day, in this hour, and in our lives and our families. You know, he said, basically, I like what Ahab, something hit him. Something came all over him. You know, there's two kinds of fighters. There's like people who train and they do MMA and judo and karate, and they're ready. I mean, they are planned. They've been waiting on this day their whole life. They go into kung fu mode and they're ready to go. And then there's those people who they don't work out much. But if you don't watch it, sometimes you can catch them on the wrong day. I'm one of those people. I will run any day. I can run. I'm a runner. I'll outrun you. But I don't want to fight you. But there are days. I don't even want to tell the story that keeps coming to my mind. But when my little boy Drake was about that big and he was playing football, and there was a man out on the field that was on the other team, and he grabbed my son and jerked him and shook him like that by his shoulder pads. And he wasn't his coach. He's just shaking him. Something came over me. I jumped over the fence. It was like slow motion. I was running through the field. "Get your hands off my boy." And thank God one of our members happened to be out there, and he ran across and grabbed me and said, "Hold on, Pastor." And I snapped back to who I am. But we were going to fight. It was going down right there on that field. And that's how we ought to feel when the enemy says, "I'm going to destroy your children and your family because this battle is not ours. We're fighting with God backing up. The cross has won the battle. The blood has won the battle. It is not by might or power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I need somebody to give God a praise if you believe. I do not intend to let hell control the narrative. Well, you got cancer. So now you got a decision. Are you going to let hell control the narrative? Because hell's going to tell you what to say. Just give up. Just know that you're going to die. Just know there's no hope. And people die. And so God doesn't heal anymore. And you know so many people who died. So just give up. Or you can say, devil, you cannot threaten me with heaven. Are you crazy? What if you die? What if I do? It's called a shortcut to heaven. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And so I will, until my last breath, say things like, by his stripes I'm healed. And when people ask me to pray for them, I don't care what condition they're in. If I'm coming, I'm going to lay my hands and say, Lord, I commit them to you, but I'm praying that you'll heal them. Either heal them in this room or take them to heaven and heal them, but no more suffering. And I'm going to tell you what, God is still a healer by his stripes. You better learn not to let the enemy just keep coming and attacking your mind, your body, your family, and you have no resistance. You control the narrative. The Bible said in Proverbs 18, life and death are in the power of your tongue, and you eat the fruit thereof. Somebody's in the storm of your life. You're ready to throw up your hands and quit. You're already negotiating the surrender. But the Lord has sent me today to tell you victory has a voice. And it wasn't until that king began to use his voice to proclaim victory that the battle started turning. These stories were written for our learning, the Bible said. We're supposed to react like God shows us in the scripture. And victory doesn't come until we understand that victory has a voice. You should say things like what the Bible says. If you're barely hanging on and you're in a bad place, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, now thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory in every place. There's nowhere I go. What does that mean? Does that mean I won't go through stuff? Does that mean I'm not suffering? Does that mean I won't ever go through pain? I won't ever go through attacks? I won't go through loss? I won't go through any negative stuff? No. Listen to what he said. Now thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory in every place. What does that mean? That means it doesn't matter where I find myself. It doesn't matter what happens to me and my family. God still has promised victory, and we are to put a voice to that victory. The cross has won. The blood has won. The name of Jesus has won. And here's what the Bible said that I carry with me. Jesus is with me no matter what I go through. That's what he promises. No matter how much I'm broken and crying, he's with me. Therefore, he cannot be defeated, and I am his child. Take a praise break right now. When victory starts talking, devil, you want a fight? You might beat me, but you're going to know you were in a fight. I'm going to swing. I'm going to hit. I'm going to scratch like a girl. I'm going to poke you in the eye. I'm going to pull your hair. I'm going to spit. I'm going to kick you in places you don't want me to kick you. I'll fight any way I have to fight. But you're not getting my family. You're not getting my finances. You're not getting my joy and my pleasure in life. For in his presence there's fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Turn to somebody and say, the sorrowful crying days will not last forever. Pleasure needs to come back.
Well, I'm single and looking.
Pleasure. Change that. Change the narrative. I'm single and looking for Jesus to come. And if he decides to give me a mate, great. If he doesn't, I'm happy just like I am. Go anywhere I want to go, do anything I want to do. The most miserable people I know are not people who are single. Let's just tell the truth. Now, I just want to say somebody needs to give victory a voice. Not when you get a ring, or not when you get the job, or not when you get the house. What about right here, right now, in every place? Pleasure. Enjoy the goodness of God. You could be hooked up to a ventilator. You could be getting chemotherapy. But here you sit and you're letting worry torment you. Control the narrative and you control the outcome. Let victory start speaking through your mouth. Let joy start speaking through your mouth. Let peace start speaking through your mouth. Let purpose start coming through your mouth. Let faith start coming. Talk faith. Talk victory. Talk good success. Talk blessed. I tell you, I feel like saying it like I wrote it. I walk in favor. Hallelujah. I walk in wisdom. I walk in blessing. I know the enemy's got weapons pointing at me, but no weapon formed shall prosper. I'll just control that narrative. I refuse to preach until the deadheads shout too. Everybody that's got breath, give God some praise. Oh, I feel this thing. It's more than a preacher getting you hyped up. When you begin to do what that book says, when you begin to praise him, when you're going through suffering and pain and brokenness, God notices things people don't notice.
I believe today's message is speaking to you, and God knows exactly where you are, what you're going through. So right where you are, just pray this prayer and say, Jesus, I surrender to you. Please, I give you my brokenness. Heal, and I put it in the potter's hand. Form and remake a new beginning for me in my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood you shed. It cleanses me. And Lord, I receive it. And if you need healing, I want to pray for you. Lord, stretch forth your hand. You are still a healing, miracle-working Savior. There's power in the name of Jesus to restore your health. And Lord, I speak health and healing. You shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. You shall recover in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If this spoke to you today, we would love to hear from you. Go online or use the number on screen and get in touch with us and tell us what God has done for you. Before I go, I want to take a moment to thank every single one of you who support this ministry, because you have given us the resources we needed to stand in unwavering support for the nation of Israel during this time of war. And I'm asking you today to help us. We've made $1 million new commitment to build the Eshkol Resilience Center. This building will serve as a beacon of hope. Will you consider giving a special gift to help us today? Pray about it. That's all I want you to do. I'm not going to tell you what to give. You ask God what he wants you to give. Thank you, and please continue to pray for Israel.
I'm standing here in the Zach's house, the Zach family house in Kibbutz Kisufim. the first community that we introduce you to. On October 7, this entire family perished. When we walked after the atrocities of October 7 into this house, we saw the father lying here behind me on the floor with a knife in his hand. And in the shelter behind me, the mother in bed, hugging her son, both dead and both burned alive. But just like this instinct of a family to protect each other, to save each other, this is what we feel with you, Pastor Jensen Franklin, and your entire congregation. It was an instinct, a family instinct, to come and stand with us and to remind us that we are not alone. You are responding immediately because you know us. You know us already for many years before. And you committed to build a resilience center that will give us therapy for our communities to heal together. In these atrocities of October 7, we know that we will rebuild again. It will be painful and hard, but we know that with you, we can make it happen, step by step, together as a family.
Next week on Kingdom Connection.
And some of you, God's given you a job, given you a house, and you're still too sophisticated to give God a shout. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic. I don't care what you are. You ought to give him a praise if it's been good. Even nature says the victor ought to make some noise.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.